God, we're so thankful. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and the only right and the only reason that we can do that is because of your grace and because of your mercy. God, the only reason we can come into your throne room is because of the blood of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Father, today, may we understand the presence and the holiness that we are sitting in today as we sit before you in this place. Father, help us to understand the magnitude of that. God, I thank you for this time together. And God, I thank you for the words of your Bible that will be poured out here today, the words of Scripture, God, that are true completely. So God, deal with us today. Help us to realize, understand, and be obedient to what you give us. And God, may we always, with the utmost reverence, God, love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So glad that you are here today. Trey, thank you for that, man. I'm glad I God listens to God when he says to say something and speak. So, yeah. Okay, I got to get refocused. God is amazing, right? And we say things like that and we talk about those kind of things, but you know, you can understand in passages such as that, and when we read Scripture and when we come before God, John made the comment, he fell though he was dead. You can, the righteousness and holiness of God. And so anyway, today we're actually, well, I was going to start in the book of Jude today, and technically almost kind of I am. But I'm going to preach a sermon before I go into the book of Jude, because we need to understand as we go into the book of Jude, he's going to say some things that we need to listen to, and not just listen to, we need to live in obedience to, as with all Scripture. But I was thinking as I began, and I guess maybe it's been a year ago, I read through the book of Jude. I've been reading other parts of the Bible, I didn't quit reading. But it's been about a year or so since I read the book of Jude. And you remember, I told you that one day I would come and God would have me to speak on the book of Jude and preach and teach the book of Jude. And I just wasn't ready. And I'd read that book. By the way, it's just one chapter, you know. And it is packed. And it's the only, and I know this might not mean a whole lot, it is the only book, only book in the Bible I've ever looked up in commentary and researched and looked and done all the stuff that has like commentary, and I'm talking about pages of commentary on every single verse in that book. So it must be extremely important. And to hear some of the comments and some of the things that were said about the book of Jude and what it is and what its purpose is was just eye-opening. And guys, today, if there's ever been a time for God's truth, it's now. And you could have said that 1,000 years ago and it would have been true. You could have said it 500 years ago. It would have been true. 10 hours ago, it's true. And it is so true. I wanted to start today by asking, what makes this so offensive? What makes this so offensive? What makes this so hard? What makes this so difficult? What makes this, I don't know, hated? I wonder what it is, because as you read, you know, throughout the Gospels and read throughout Scripture, I really do see in here that everything that God does and everything that God has is good. Is good. We don't view it as good, and why is that? So I sat down yesterday afternoon and just pondered for a few minutes on that thought. And I came up with this thought. I'm going to share it with you. And I think as I paraphrase this, you can actually find this in the Bible. Why is it so offensive to people? And in just a few minutes, I'm not talking about just people like unsaved people. I'm talking about church people. You know, we got churches today that have preached part of the Bible, but not all of the Bible. And if you preach part of the Bible, then you really ain't teaching Scripture at all, because it takes all of the Bible to preach the Bible. Amen? It takes it all. And so you can't go in there like a salad bar and just pick out the tomatoes and cucumbers. You take it as a whole. But I think what makes it so offensive is because we're so evil and we're so sinful. And when we read this book does exactly what this book was intended to do. One is intended to open our eyes. It was to reveal who we actually are. And guys, I know that, you know, this is like, yeah, you know, this is kind of hammering it, or this is going to be, you know, kind of beating it in. Well, hard-headed children don't listen. You gotta get their attention. And God certainly will get our attention. And before we go into the book of Jude, I want you to know and understand that what I'm going to say to you, and it really will, we will probably or possibly be in the book of Jude for 6 weeks. It's a lot of stuff in the book of Jude, and I'm going to hammer and hammer as long as God has me to hammer. I'm going to give it as long as He says give it. And I was thinking last night, I said, you know, I wonder how many times a preacher preaches a message, and it's like, because you hear this rude, you know, preacher steps on my toes. Ain't no preacher ever stepping on your toes. If your toes is burning after a service because of Scripture, it's because God's getting your attention, and God did that. My feet ain't even big enough to step on your toes. God is saying, wake up, pay attention. So I got to thinking, so that you won't take my word for it, so that I won't get up here and say a bunch of stuff about the book of Jude that you say, well, that's a thought and that's an opinion, I'm going to tell you what the Word of God is today. I'm going to actually preach a message before I preach the message. Yes, 3 o'clock today is when we'll be. Would you sit here and listen to Scripture that night? I don't know. But God's Word is infallible. There is not one mistake in God's Word. My granddaddy didn't lie to me when he told me that every word in this book is true. And the reason I want to preach the message today about the Word of God being infallible is because I was looking at, y'all ever watched the news? I watched like 3 minutes and I just have to go to the toilet and throw up. And you know, you watch news, you watch what's happening in churches, you watch what's happening with religions, and you ask the question like, God, there is no way that come, that is not what this is reading or saying. So how's our world gotten so screwed up? From selfishness. From sinfulness. And here's the part that I want to hit on really, really hard. There's things in this book. There is correcting scriptures in this book to be corrected. And one thing that our society hates is correction. We don't want correction. We want God, we want heaven, we want benefits, but we do not want correction, right? And this, you know, fire and brimstone or whatever, you know, we get to thinking that this is too harsh. I read something that, I think it was Chuck Swindoll, I don't know, I was reading a bunch of articles yesterday, and something he said, isn't it amazing that people say that they treasure God, but they don't want the heart of God to interfere in their life. Let me tell you something I've learned about Scripture. And this is true, and you can go check this out. Because there again, don't take my word for it. God has His way. And God's way is right. This is basic Christianity. This is basic biblical understanding 101 right here. We're not smarter than God. Never have been, never will be, never can be. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, the problem with America is we have educated ourselves into stupidity. That's a very true statement. I'll say it one more time. We have educated ourselves into stupidity. What did he mean by that? Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with learning. What he meant by that is we cease to educate ourselves in this. We cease to have God show us things. We want God's blessings, but we don't want God's way. Isn't that weird? God, we want to be blessed, but we don't want to do it your way. What was the saying? And I don't forget who said this. I think it's J. Vernon McGee. I don't know, but a guy was talking about he had a better way of doing things, and the guy said it something like this. I'm gonna probably mess this up. He said, you might have a better way of doing things, but God has a universe, and you, sir, don't have no universe. So I'll go with God. Something to that effect. Guys, every word in this book is true. Every single word. There's pastors teaching today in churches that would disagree with that. In our culture, in sweet, good old America, there's congregations sitting today listening to false teachers who is telling him, we don't need that anymore. We have marshmallowed the Word of God so it is soft. And when it becomes soft, it becomes ineffective. When it becomes soft, you have made it something that it is not. And when it becomes soft, it is no longer God's Word you're preaching and teaching. It is your words, it is your thoughts, and your opinions. That cannot happen. So, this is going to get maybe a little intense, I don't know. But I'm going to preach Scripture, and God will deal with it, you and me and everyone that hears it accordingly. So today what I want to do is just simply talk about the infallible Word of God. Because guys, two things. Understand this. To gain understanding of Scripture, you need key elements. Now, when I say this, people are going to say, well, what about the people that don't know Jesus yet? Let me just say what I need to say, and then I'll back up and cover that. I think to begin to grow in the garden of God, to begin to grow in your spiritual walk, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. That's key one. I've told you the stories before I knew Jesus, that I would read the Bible because I wanted something from God. None of it ever made any sense, but I figured I'd get points for reading, and as long as I'd read a couple chapters a day, God would bless me, and I'd get what I want, and that's false, that's a lie, that never happened. Thank God it didn't. You have to have Jesus Christ. The sinner, we're all sinners, but those who do not have Christ, can they hear God? Absolutely they can hear God. How do you think God gets them to open their eyes? Of course they can hear God. Can they have a deep understanding of Scripture? I'm going to go ahead and step out on a limb. It might break off with me. Can they have a deep understanding of Scripture? I'm going to say, no, they cannot. How can you figure something out with your human brain that it takes the Holy Spirit to make sense of? You don't have the Holy Spirit living in you if Jesus isn't in you. If you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and Jesus Christ is not your King and your Lord and your Savior, if He has not saved you, how can you understand it? Because only then the Spirit comes and lives in you. When the Spirit comes and lives in you, then the Spirit begins to make sense of Scripture, and then you begin to grow. We'll take the two examples of these gardens out there. There's two gardens. One, both of them has dirt in them, okay? One of them is beneficial dirt. One of them is very high protein, high octane, high nitrogen. It is the cat's meow. I mean, it is all it is. It is God. It is everything. And it's beautiful. It is growing. This morning, me and the kids looked at the sandbox that the cat keeps pooping in. That one, because the world will poop on you. That's the world's box. Okay? That one looks pretty pitiful. It's stuff growing. It's things growing, but it's pitiful. You cannot humanly figure this out. It takes God. It takes His Spirit to figure this out. So you got to have Jesus. You got to have Jesus. Secondly, you got to know and believe and trust that all of this is true. Whether you like it or not, just because we don't like something that Scripture says does not make it untrue. Just because we read something like that's difficult, we need to remove it, does not make it untrue. It is true. If we only believe part of Scripture or think that this book has a mistake in it, we as good as calling God a liar to His face. And if God is a liar, then what in the world are we doing sitting here? Who wants to follow a liar? No. God is nothing but truth. God is nothing but pure. God is nothing but righteous. He is nothing but holy. Everything He says is true. His Word is infallible. No matter how you like this, no matter what you want to say about some passage of Scripture, I still read some passage of Scripture, and my response to the passage would be, Anybody ever read the Bible and get a It's some tough stuff in here. But because God is righteous and holy, it's true. The only way we can follow that, God, there's no way. And He would say this. I'm like, God, there's no way I can get to that place. He said, you're right, but Jesus can. And if you live in Christ and Christ in you, you can get there. You can live that. You can live that out because I am in you. That makes sense? It's the only way. So you have to believe that all of this is true. So scary. As I was reading some articles this week, it's like I've seen some of the things that is being removed from the Word of God. And you know what things are being moved from the Word of God? It's those things that we say is offensive to us. Well, why don't you just be God and see how that works for you? That's offensive. Of course it's offensive. You know why? Because we're sinning. A sinner standing face to face with the truth of the Almighty, of course it's going to make you feel icky. Wrong. And see, we think that's a bad thing. We think that's a really bad thing. I tell people that when you get convicted in that way, you need to shout praises to God. He has brought you to a place and shown you something, and He brought you there for the purpose of repentance. He wants you to see and understand. I don't always give the best illustrations, but if you were to go to the doctor and you had this severe disease that was going to kill you like in 2 weeks, would you want to know about it? Anyone? Would you want to know? I have problems with doctors, so this is for the smart people, okay? You would want to know. The other question is, if the doctor says we can fix that, would you want him to fix it? Hands down, we can take care of it, we can clean it up, we can have you fresh in you, and in a week's time, the cancer will be gone, and everything will be right with life, and you can live. Who would want that? We all would. And I know that's a sorry example, but when you come before Christ, believe this or not, sin is a cancer, a spiritual cancer. And when God brings us to a place in His Word and shows us something, He is saying, I can fix that. I can heal that. Same as with the doctor, you're going to have to get on the operating table. And they're going to have to cut and dig a little bit. That's not a very popular term. You know, people don't like that being said. But it's going to be a little painful to remove what it needs to be removed. Same way spiritually. It can be painful for God to dig something out of you. I picture things like this. Things we take to God and give to God that we no longer leave in our life, no longer need in our life. God, sometimes we just hand it to Him. It slides right out of our hands just perfectly, right? Other boxes that we hand to God that needs to be out of our life got claw marks on it. Why? Because we still love that. God does amazing things in making us new. You got to understand, as we go into Jude and we start talking about false teachers and ungodly people, we got to understand that God wants to make us right. He wants to make us holy and righteous, and it only happens through Christ, and He wants us to live in a right way. And the world does not like that. That is not popular. Still got the question, will I live for God or will I live for me? And I sit down and so many times I hear things that happens in churches and ministries another article I read that people don't like this book because it changes them. Isn't that a weird comment? They don't like this because it changes them. I'll tell you something about the Word of God. If you ever sincerely read this thing and you truly want to know what God's thinking, here's something awesome I believe the Holy Spirit does. He'll show you what God's thinking. He'll show you what it means. He'll open your eyes. This book cannot be read with the sincerity and it not make a difference. I want to share something maybe again, so if I repeat myself, forgive me. I was looking up this morning before I came to church, two folks, and there's many, two folks that were atheists that got in this book and was going to prove it wrong. Let me show you the power of God's Word. C.S. Lewis was one of them. He was a teacher at Oxford. Means he had a brain like a Porsche. That thing was beautiful. He had it going on. C.S. Lewis was a smart guy. And the reason I want to emphasize that, he was a smart, educated guy who said there was no God. One day, C.S. Lewis, at some point in time, decided to take this word and prove that it was no God and this word was of no use or would have no impact. So C.S. Lewis starts reading Scripture. He starts reading things, and before you know it, he's like, well, possibly. And then possibilities turn into assurities. And C.S. Lewis was devoted to God. You go read some of the stuff, that commentary or whatever, you go read some of the books that C.S. Lewis has got, and it is amazing of his understanding and view of God. God took an Oxford atheist and changed his heart. My point being, you cannot read this and it not have impact. I heard a smart fellow say one time, the Scriptures have two things that will happen. It gets two results. It will either draw you to God or it will run you away from Him. And I believe that. And the reason it would run you away from Him is because we're selfish, sinful, and evil. That's why it will run you away. And God, I don't want anything to do with you. C.S. Lewis started out, Bible wasn't true, ended up living a life of proclaiming the truth of God out of this Word. Y'all have heard of Lee Strobel. He's kind of one in our century. He's an old guy, but Lee Strobel, his wife come to know Christ. She was living for Christ. It angered him, made him bitter. So he decided to go and prove that what she believed was a hoax. What she believed was wrong. So he begins to get into the infallible Word of God. There's got to be a mistake in here somewhere. There's a comment that he makes, and I wish I had books I could give to you to go and read. There's a comment in there somewhere like, I couldn't find a mistake anywhere. He said, I kept hitting brick walls. I kept ramming into truth. He couldn't disprove God here, couldn't disprove God here, couldn't disprove God here or here. He kept ramming into truth. It was infallible. The Word was true. Today, he's a follower of Christ who proclaims the testimony and witness of who Jesus Christ is. We got millions of people sitting in churches today who took their Bible, they picked it up this morning, they picked it up and they went, because it ain't been read all week. They picked it up, they'll go listen to a preacher say a few words and it'll be, I think Cracker Barrel's having beans for lunch today. They'll listen to a few words and they'll feel good about going to church. There's a passage of Scripture in the Bible that says that Jesus will one day say, He will one day say to those who say, hey God, I went to church and I helped little old ladies across the street and God, I did all of these things. God, I even cast out demons. I did all these spiritual things and Jesus is going to say, away from me, I never knew you. That's how you know that our relationship with Jesus isn't on what we do, the spiritual things we conjure up and do. It's a relationship with Him. And that relationship creates this desire to sit at the table of God and feast. And just like the little plants in the garden, we start out as a dead seed. And we're placed in fertile soil. And the fertile soil begins to grow us. And as the fertile soil begins to grow us, we begin to sprout bloom, eventually producing fruit. The infallible Word of God. How a person can call, how I could call myself a Christian and not know and understand that every word in this book is true, is beyond me. I don't know how we can do that. At one time, I thought going to church, I was going to ride my grandparents' coattails to heaven. You know, I never found that in here. Never found any of that. So you were the fourth generation and everybody before you were saved, so you got to let you. I've never found that anywhere. I'll tell you what I have found. It's a decision for Christ. You personally. So, y'all ready to get in the sermon? Okay. So here we go. I'm gonna read a few things just as some commentary to pull it off, and I just want to share this with you. It's like an intro into Jude. Actually, this is gonna make me sound crazy. I actually got two intros into Jude. This one, and then I'm gonna give you some background on Jude. So I want to read this. This is one of the things that I printed off yesterday, and Jason should have the scripture. You're not going to have Romans 12. I forgot to give that to you, but I got it written down. So don't. Oh, Courtney's the one doing it. Well, y'all look so much alike. No, I couldn't tell the difference. So, yeah, Courtney just made you look good. All right, so anyway, here we go. So what does it mean that the Bible is infallible? What is biblical infallibility? What is that? Like I said before, it is mistake-free. I want to read you some things because I couldn't word it this good. My vocabulary isn't that big, so I'm just going to read the definition. Here's the answer this commentator gave. The word infallible means incapable of error. You ever thought of that? God can't make an error. It is incapable of an error. If something is infallible, it is never wrong and thus absolutely trustworthy. Did you hear that? Oh, gosh, you got it up. You did good. Oh, Trey, rock on, brother. And I'm out here trying to pinch my eyes to read it. It is absolutely trustworthy. So if it's never wrong, it's absolutely trustworthy. You know what? There is nothing on the face of this earth that is absolutely trustworthy except this. Agreed? Similarly, the word inerrant, also applied to Scripture, means free from error. Simply put, the Bible never fails. Let's say that together. The Bible never fails, simply put. The Bible claims to be infallible in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. Listen to this. Peter continues with a description of how Scripture came to be. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Love that. I get an argument on occasion. Man wrote the Bible. His hand did. So how powerful is God? God's powerful enough to speak through. I believe this is my picture. Because the Word is infallible and we're reading right now, that none of this was man's thinking. None of this was because man sat around one day and said, I believe this about God, or I think this about God, without God pouring it into him. It was spoken through the prophets. I picture it like this, that God took the hand of man and placed it in his hand, and that's how Scripture got written. It was of God. He breathed it into that man. That's unbelievable because people make mistakes. They sure do until God gets a hold to them. Everybody just do this because this is just so much fun. Just do this. God gave you that. And God will give you the next one. And if God can give you that, he can write his scriptures through a man. He can speak through a man. So that man's hand will not be mistaken when it writes. I believe that. So, Peter continues with the description of how Scripture came to be. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by what? The Holy Spirit. Proof number one. This is God's word. It came through the prophets. It was written by God through man, is the simplest way I can put it. Also, we see the infallibility implied in 2 Timothy. Love this one. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. This is very familiar. We talked about it not too long ago. All Scripture is God, what? Breathed. And has the effect of producing servants of God who are thoroughly equipped for every good work. The fact that God breathed Scripture, or breathed Scripture, ensures that the Bible is infallible. For God cannot breathe out error. I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Do you believe this about God? Now, we're in church, so I'm assuming all of us will say, absolutely yes. Monday morning, will you believe this about God? I thought about something. I don't know about y'all, but there have been moments in my life, and heck, it ain't been that long ago. There have been moments that I kind of doubted God. Anybody ever do that? That just me? I'm just that bigger sinner? Or, I mean, there have been times like God, and it wasn't that I said, God, I doubt you. It was my thinking. Ooh, Jesus gets serious with that, don't he? I mean, it was my thinking. I wouldn't go in a direction, or I was fearful to go in a direction because I wasn't sure, and I wasn't sure I could figure it out, which is saying to God, God, I doubt you can take me through that. That's just wrong. Trust God. It's easy said, it's harder to do. 2 Timothy continues, the fact that God breathed the Scriptures assures that the Bible is infallible, for God cannot breathe out error. The fact that the Bible equips God's servants thoroughly for service shows that it guides us into truth, not error. I love that. I can get you this piece of paper. I can print this off. You need to read this from time to time. This guides us into truth. Guides us into truth. We're dealing with all kinds of things in our culture today. I heard something. I think John MacArthur made this statement here not long ago. Somebody asked him to define the 8 or 9 transgender whatevers. And I loved his answer. He took this and answered that question. He said, there is no 7, 8, or 9. There's only 2. You go to Genesis, and Genesis says God created them, male and female. See, the world don't like that. I want to be what I want to be, God. I want to do it my way. I still want your blessing, but I want to do it my way. And God says, no. I created you male and female. If it's got the little stick figure like this on the bathroom, that's a male. If the little figure is like that with a dress, that's a woman. Not hard to figure out. It's not difficult. And I'm not trying to, you know, I know there's all kind of, we diagnose somebody every 10 seconds with a new something. And there are people out there who legitimately have something going on. I agree. I'm going to just go ahead and step right out on this limb. I heard a pastor say, this has been about 6 months ago, I was listening. He said, some of the things we diagnose in our culture today, he said, is pure and plain demonic possession. It's demonic. I'm like, wow. And see, we can't say or talk about demonic possession in the 21st century. What does that mean? Satan done got a hold on them. What can break the hold of Satan is Christ. In fact, he already has. This Bible, you want to know the truth about your gender? You want to know the truth about your sexuality? You want to know the truth about your heart, your love, whether it's pure, whether it's right? You want to know the truth about how to follow, how to walk, how to speak, how to talk, how to pray, how to live, how to treat others, how to invest in others? You want to know that? This is the truth. This is the truth. And the reason I said earlier that we have educated ourselves into stupidity is because, really, this one book holds all the answers? Absolutely. Why does that one book hold all the answers? Because it's God's book. And God's always righter than we are. We've never been right. God's always righter and righteous. This will lead you into truth, not error. If God is infallible, then so will be His Word. The doctrine of Scripture's infallibility is based on understanding of God's perfection of character. God's Word is perfect, refreshing the soul, says Psalm 19:7. Because God Himself is perfect, theologically, God is closely associated with His Word. The Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus is called the Word in John 1:14. The Word came to earth. How about that? He's the Word. That's how closely associated God is with His Word. This is God's heart. This is God's thoughts. This is God's life manual, life example. This is where we get it. This is where we understand God's heart. This is where we learn how to love. This is where we learn how to care. This is where we learn how to live right with God. Knowing Christ. It should be noted that the doctrine of infallibility concerns only the original documents. Let me read this and then I'll say something. Mistranslations, printed in errors, and typos are obvious human mistakes and are easily spotted most of the time. However, what the biblical writers originally wrote was completely free from error or omission. I know you might not want to hear this, but Josh, who we ran off a couple months ago. No, I'm just kidding. Josh put me an app, on my phone, and I can get there now. That's pretty amazing. But anyway, put me on an app where I can go and look at a word or a verse in Hebrew or Greek. And here's the beautiful thing: I can't read a lick of Hebrew, and can't much read Greek. Well, actually, technically, I can't read Greek at all. But this translates it for us. So let me say something. This is where technology is beautiful. Okay? If you got a problem with Scripture and you think Scripture, something's wrong with Scripture, go look at the original text. Look at the original text. See what it says. And that's like number five on the list. You know what the surest way is to know what God's saying? It ain't from a computer. It ain't from a wise Bible scholar. You know what the surest way to know what God is saying and instructing you to do? Here we go. By listening to the Holy Spirit, which lives inside of you. Have you ever read a passage of Scripture and wondered what it was saying and why it was saying that and why it was saying it that way, and you read it over time and you honestly went to God and you prayed on your face before God, "God, I need understanding. God, would you please give me understanding of this verse? It's just tugging at my heart. It wouldn't leave you alone. It would just get in there and grind and grind and stare and stare and stare." And you wanted to know and you needed to know and you were seeking God and you sought God. And sometimes it seems like a battle, but all of a sudden, bam, you would understand it. And it's like, "Thank you, God. That makes perfect sense. And now I understand this, this, and this because of that." But the Holy Spirit will confirm in you and make sense of Scripture. That's one of His jobs. Do you trust the Spirit of God to do that? Do you trust God through His Holy Spirit to make sense of this? Do we really want to know it? Or do we read it and say, "Oh, I can't understand that," and shut the book? Is that how we read God's Word? I mean, I'm convinced in America, I'm going to go ahead and just step out on another limb. We on a big old tree today. I'm convinced in America that we no longer want to know the truth of God. For most people, we don't want to know the truth because it's going to mess up our life. Let me give you a little future illustration. If we walked into the future 20 years from now, knowing what we know now, struggling with what we're struggling with now, with the flesh and God's Word, we would say at 20-year point, if we could look back, we would say, "I wished I would have listened. I wished I would have sought. I regret not listening to God." We would say that. So why not now? I look at it like this. reading some articles. I've been doing a lot of reading lately. Now, not fast. I ain't covered a lot of material because I read very slow. But I've been reading and some missionaries overseas and all of that. And they live life from day to day, at least this particular guy. Live life from day to day, waking up in the morning, thanking God for that day, the opportunity to share Christ with somebody, and praying that he went to see Jesus that night. He had a Paul mentality. It was about Christ. To be with Christ is better by far. I actually heard a gentleman make this statement once. He said, I'm excited about serving God. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go right now because there's just too many things I'd like to do. Makes me tremble. So you love the things of earth more than you love God. Our hearts should crave to see God every single day. Paul, listen, when I read Paul, you can hear it in him. He's like, God, I am persevering. I'm pressing forward. I'm all about serving you, glorifying you. But God, I'm ready to go any moment. I'm so excited, so wanting to see my Savior, to for eternity to worship Him. We don't have that mentality nowadays. We love God and we want just enough God to get us through life. And we want God to bless us. That's not Christianity. That's us-ianity. Y'all didn't get that. Us, me-ianity. They went to sleep on me. Okay, so, finish reading this. The biblical writers originally wrote was completely free of error or omission. As the Spirit superintended their task, God is truthful and perfectly reliable. Go see John 14:6, 17:3. And so is His Word, John 17:17. The Bible claims complete as opposed to partial. This is one of the things I wanted to hammer on today. The Bible claims complete as opposed to partial perfection in Psalm 12:6, Psalm 12:7, Proverbs 30:5. Go see them. And many other places. It's all over the Bible. You can read it. It is a factual. It's factual throughout and in fact, judges us rather than vice versa. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And this is what I want to talk to us just a little bit about today. Boy, I sometimes sit down, and it's a scary thing to diagnose my heart and what it looks like. See, here's the thing you got to know. I came to church this morning, and don't answer this because y'all will embarrass me, because if you embarrass me, I'm going to embarrass you, okay? But I came in this morning. I look like a Christian, don't I? Y'all do. Y'all look like Christians. Can you tell? Let me ask you this question. Maybe this will make more sense. Do you know what I thought this week? Who in here would love for me to know what you thought this week? Anyone? The thoughts that ran through your mind. What did you say this week? What did you think about others this week? See, this is what I love. God just says, you know what? You got to have me to do it right. There is no other way. You will mess this up. You can maybe 10 seconds be good. And even in that, right time you go, oh, you messed up. You need me to do this right. Our thoughts and attitudes. I don't know about you, but when it gets hot outside, my attitude gets worse. Anyone? Yeah. Tempers fly. My thoughts and attitudes. What do I think about? What do I focus on? This is where I want to read Romans 12:2 to everybody. This is something that the Word says, the Word does. Our thoughts and attitudes. Just let me read it right quick. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You will learn to know God's will I wrote really small, for which you are to follow, for which is good and perfect will. Renew your minds. Think on the things of God. I've gotten to where I'll read some scripture and I'll either put a little piece of paper in my pocket or some of it, thank God, and I've been praying. And you know what? He's really helping me with this. I can read a passage of scripture and he's really letting it stick in my noggin. You know, and it's been good. So meditate on those things. Meditate on those things. See, our thoughts and attitudes, Hebrews says that God knows all that. He knows everything. You ever talk to somebody and like, you know, you're really sweet to their face, but you really don't like them? Just next time you do that, picture God saying, you know? Just think about that. And this isn't, see, it seems impossible because when a preacher preaches that we must be doing these things because of Scripture's teaching, we kind of take it on ourselves and shoulder it up and say, how am I going to do that? You can't. You can't. You can't live a compassionate, loving life towards others without Christ. I can't love God like the way I should love God without Christ. Danny, you meaning to tell me that everything that I think and everything that I thought and everything I do that is done, it is done better and right with Christ? Absolutely. You don't get to right living until you get to know Christ. And see, that's a bad message in our culture today. We don't like that. Well, I'm a pretty solid thinker. I'm sure you are. You're probably as smart as C.S. Lewis. You could probably go to Oxford and pass with A's and B's, pluses. But I don't care. The smartest man on the face of the earth that's ever breathed up air is an idiot. Plumb dumb compared to God. We are not that good. We need God. And His Word is truth. I am so thankful for this. If I want to know what is right and want to know what's true, it's right here. It's right here. The Bible is the sole objective source of all God has given us about Himself and His plan for humanity. As God's infallible Word, the Bible is inerrant, authoritative, reliable, and sufficient to meet our needs. There you go. You want to live life right? There it is. There it is. Now, I'm going to end there today because we got another introduction at least partially this long, but I really do want to get to the book of Jude because the whole purpose in laying all this out is when we get to Jude, I want us to, for one time, we've done preached through the book of Galatians. Anybody remember the book of Galatians? Next week we're going to do a test on what you learned out of the book of Galatians. Bring the papers. I want to see what you learned. Okay? But I got to thinking last night, before I called Trey with the scripture, I was there praying, and I thought, I said, yeah, I need to help us all understand that when we sit down to read a book of the Bible, a passage of scripture, that this is God's Word, it is infallible, it is inerrant, it is perfect, it is right. And when we read it, we must take it and understand that this is what I live by, this is what I live like, this is who I trust, and this is what trust looks like. It has to be done God's way. And I thought about coming this morning and preaching this, and I love this body because you guys are so awesome at listening, and I never get mean or mad text, any of that. Y'all are just awesome. But I did come this morning thinking this. God, you called me to shepherd a flock. And so God, help me to give the sheep what sheep need. And by the way, I'm not excluding the sheep to just you. I'm like a grown bull sheep or something. I'm the shepherd, but I too am a sheep. I too have to be led by God. I too have to listen to Him. I too have to be submissive to Him. I too have to listen and hear what He's telling me to do. Seek direction from Him. So all of us are sheep. But as it goes, as a shepherd, I got to thinking about the Word being preached in the state of South Carolina today. the word being preached. I was sitting at a table, and I'll end with five or six stories here, okay? It shouldn't take us an hour or more. But I was sitting at a table one day at a pastor's convention kind of thing. They feed you good. I mean, they really do. That's why I go, is for the food. But I'm just kidding. Anyway, I was sitting there, and we were just talking about churches and their fails. People always ask me, say, how many people you got in your church? Well, there's two things wrong with that. One, I don't have a church. I shepherd a church. This is God's church. It's not like I own Immerse Church. I'm here under submissive following of Christ to be a shepherd in this place. So this ain't my church. This is God's church. His sheep pen. Okay? Two, I have no idea. I don't count when people come in. I know when the seats are a little fuller than others, and that's awesome and great. And I've preached to 3, and I've preached to 30, and I've preached to 90. I don't know. I don't count when they come in. What I want to do and what I need to do as a shepherd in Christ is I need to feed the flock. Now, I'm going to give you another farming illustration, okay? I need to feed the flock. My job is to give you the Word of God. Now, I do farm cattle, still have cows to this day, and I want the very best food that you can get. It's $2 more a bag. I don't care if it's $20 more a bag. I want the best food that you can get. Why do I want that? Because it's going to make everything that animal should be. Some of y'all might not eat meat, and y'all crazy. I'll eat what you don't. But I'm telling you, I want the very best for that animal. And so that's what we buy. And so when I shepherd them, you know, if the necessity, I told you about the pink eye illustration. If pink eye gets in a herd of cows, it can scatter from 1 to 2 to 3, and that can happen very quickly. So if I see a cow with pink eye, I'm going to come and I'm going to do something very painful to that animal. But it's for its good. It's for its good. We will pull it up, and it don't like to get tapped on the butt. I don't use hot sticks. I just beat them with a light pole. I'm just kidding. I just tap them with a stick. I'll get them up in the chute. And they don't like when that shoe goes wham. I mean, it slams shut on them. It's loud, and they'll instantly start bucking. Just wait for them to quit kicking. If you ever been kicked by a cow, you'll know why. I got kicked right there. That hurt. I ain't gonna describe the rest of it. But anyway, so I pull him up in there, and I take his eyeball. Well, first of all, I give him a shot under the skin, and just to see a needle ripple up under the skin makes my skin crawl. You know, I have to kind of, and I'm apologizing to him the whole time. But I know it's for his good. And then the next thing is even more painful. I'll tear up when I'm doing this. You take carnation milk, and you open his eye like this. You hold his eyelid open. He's trying to shut. You hold it, and you take it, and you squirt carnation milk in his eye. And he's just bellowing and hollering and stomping and kicking, and I'm crying, but you squirt in his eye, and then you shut his eye. He's trying to open it now. And you rub his eye like this. Make sure it gets in there good. And then you turn him loose. And he runs out of that chute like, I hate you! I'm sure you do. I don't blame you. 2 days later, you can go look at that very cow, and his eye is crystal clear. He can see out of it. It is healed. There's no more mass of ucky stuff around it. It is completely healed. Now, sometimes God has to drag us up in the chute. And sometimes God says things to us that's like a needle going under the skin. It's hard. And sometimes God has to squirt stuff in our eye. It makes us flinch. It makes us angry. But if this takes root in our heart, it makes us better. It makes us righteous. It makes us holy. It makes us more like Jesus. That's why when we start in a week or two in the book of Jude, you might hear, BAM! You might hear the chute slam shut. And we're going to read some things. And we're going to say some things and lay out some things But God ain't led us to the book of Jude. And when I say led us, because if He's leading me to teach it, He's leading you to hear it. And He's not leading us there just so He can watch us squirm and bounce around in the chute. He's leading us there for the sole purpose of turning us loose in our life, being better. It being better. Being righter, to use a Gilbert phrase. Being righter, more righteous. Guys, I want to encourage you to do this. And it was our motto and still is our motto for a while. Take this book and read it for yourself. Take it and read it. Feed at this table often. Eat it as food as often as you can. You know, it's the only food, spiritually speaking. The Bible, I consider the words as food that nourish us, and it doesn't make us fat. It makes us strong. So when I read this, I don't stand here a little bubble-gutted guy. I look like Hercules. When I read this, I am stronger. I am stronger. It makes me right. It clears my thinking. And then I can glorify God. So read your Bibles. Everything in here is true. Now, if for some reason you're sitting here today and you don't believe that, okay, no problem, except there's a problem. If you don't believe it, let's talk. I won't say, well, how dare you just believe the four Gospels? No, we'll sit and we'll talk. Lovingly, compassionately. I'd love to hear why you maybe don't believe all this. Maybe it is because it's too hard. I'll agree with you. Some of this is really difficult. Some of this is really difficult. But necessary. It's necessary. So for today, I think I'm done. Except to say, guys, pick this up, read it. Cherish God, cherish His Word, and cherish Him. He will change you, and I promise you, you will never, ever regret a change that God makes in your life. I have yet to say anything that God's done in my life. I have yet to say, I wish He hadn't done that. Everything that God has changed in my life, I am eternally grateful and thankful for. God is amazing. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Trey, thank you for sharing at the beginning. That picture just keeps running through my mind of the Lamb being worthy, the only one worthy. What if there would have never been anyone worthy to open this? Where would we be without the blood of Christ? Helpless and hopeless. God didn't leave us that way. He said, no, I love you. I love you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for, God, your word. I can't even package it into human words. God, no other book on the face of the earth is challenging, is as intense, as loving and compassionate. God, in no other book ever has the eternal effect that your word will. Jesus is the word. And Father, if He lives in us, then we can know and we can understand. So Father, help us this week as we take your word. God, we read upon it, read in it, read through it. God, show us, help us to understand, give us the wisdom that we need to have. And God, even help us through those wrestling matches, through those passages. God, help us to enjoy the strain, to learn, God, and then rejoice in what you give us to live. May we take all of it in an obedience to you, live it out. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy. Thank you, God, Father, for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.